Welcome to the One Speed MMA podcast.
Hey.
Welcome back again for another great week. First things first, I'm Flying Smitty.
I am Carson Wood.
I'm also Justin Smith.
That's the third person we have here. Yep. So that's Flying Smitty, Carson Wood, and Justin Smith.
Just me, myself, and I.
How's everybody?
Right until we die.
Good card last night. We didn't get to watch it together.
But before we get into that,
yeah,
moment of silence for Josh Salmon. It's probably long enough.
Okay. The MMA world said they were shocked, and I heard Chael talk about it a little bit. I mean, I don't mean to be insensitive. I really didn't know, like, who he was. It's sad. I mean, in an industry, like, we're at least in the industry, and you hate to see people pass away. Did you hear Chael's breakdown of it?
I didn't.
He said it when he went into...
I think Chael's brother's got substance abuse issues as well.
Well, Chael doesn't think it was substance abuse.
Well,
he's very adamant that it's not.
Apparently, there's no heroin in his system. So the first rumor was it was a heroin overdose because of the person that he was with, and he's a recovering drug addict. So people like that. It's just like when a terrorist attack occurs and everyone just blames ISIS, but really it could be like Bill down the street who just lost it.
But normally it's ISIS.
Yeah.
Or Islamic fundamentalists.
Yeah. At least we go that way right off the bat. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kansas City bombing. Anyway. Moving on. So apparently, same thing. Basic concept, someone that used to have a drug issue, if they're found in...
Chael said he didn't have a drug issue.
They said he did.
He said he fought... I mean, Chael's very... So he was on the other side of the coaching when Salmon was on it.
He was supposed to win.
Salmon or Salmon? Sorry.
I call him Salmon.
I apologize for being insensitive, everybody. So he was saying, right when he went into a coma, he's like, there's people saying that it's heroin. We are not going to disrespect this man. This is, do not believe the rumors. And then in between, he did pass away. And he came back on Friday and was like, you're going to keep hearing rumors. I'm not going to give them validity on this podcast. You remember what we talked about Wednesday? Yep. He was up and coming. He had the lady that I got to meet that was the love of his life that passed away. He fought through some things with it, like a man, and did it very appropriately. Do not, and so he's very adamant that it's not drug use. He kind of pulled back the reins and he didn't give too much away on Friday, but he was very adamant that.
So they tested him, and there was no heroin in his system. That's the hardest part. Like, once again, the whole how open does the media need to be? Someone dies. Does it really matter, you know, for the first month or so what actually happened? Like, let's just hope that they get past it and they respect it. And then once things finally kind of settle down, you can look more into it and get things going.
I got something to say on that. If we're not going to take it seriously and, like, if we're not going to actually try to affect change and make sure that we're helping out like these like lower level fighters that are in tough situations, if it is a drug problem, don't even talk about it.
Well, I mean, look at Chris Lieben. Look how many times he openly was like, yeah, I've got substance abuse issues.
Well, I think people tried to help him out.
Oh, no, the UFC sent him to rehab like 9 times. But I mean...
And I'm just saying, like, if we're not talking about like actually fixing the problem, if we're just using it to sling mud and be like, well, he was on drugs, like... Don't even talk about it. Like, what? There's no benefit if you do. And that goes across the board for everything, in my opinion.
If you're not proposing a solution, don't just accentuate the problem.
Something bad happened. Now, if you are going to fix something, like, that's a different conversation. Like, if we're trying to push forward and make sure that we're having healthy avenues for people to fix their lives, yeah, absolutely. 100% of the time.
You should never. I mean, it's just like people in Hollywood where. When they die, everyone's like, it's probably a drug overdose. There's no reason just to jump to a conclusion of whatever it is. I mean, he wrote a book. He was pushing his book. Apparently, people in the MMA community really like it. He lost his last fight, and then he was trying to get... He was supposed to win the Ultimate Fighter. I mean, he wasn't a young up-and-comer, and he was supposed to be a really, really nice guy. But yeah, as of right now, there's not a lot of substances that you can overdose. I mean, pills. But, I mean, that would be an opioid, and they would find the opioid in the system. And so, I mean, who knows? And I guess we'll come out, and there was somebody else there, and maybe that person ended up taking both their lives. Who knows? Let's speculate. No, I'm just joking. But we'll move on from that. You were saying UFC 204. So I watched the prelims, most of the prelims for this, And then I ended up going to the football game and having to stream the fights to my phone while the football game was going on. So I caught intermittent streaming, and then it would freeze, and then streaming, and then it would freeze.
I didn't watch. Oh, so I get crap for not watching the good or for not watching the shitty cards, and you don't get anything.
Utah had not beat Arizona in 4 years.
So?
So it was important that we were there.
No, it wasn't.
Yes.
No. Arizona's not even good this year.
They're not. And that's why it's so important that we
They're
won.
They're not.
They aren't. That's why it was so important. I missed the USC-Utah game. I could have been there. I was not going to miss this one, and it did not disappoint. However, I did see Mike Perry, the world's most loved, hated satirical figure now in UFC, where Reddit hated him, and now they're getting in the Mike Perry goat train as a satirical I don't even know, documentation or a satirical movement in Reddit that Mike Perry's the greatest thing that's happened to MMA. And man, he's a good bad fighter. The dude says really dumb things, but he goes out and he actually fights. He almost finished the fight in the first round. He doesn't have any head movement. I've never seen somebody that just stands in front of somebody and not have any head movement that doesn't usually end up losing the fight. So anyway, Leon Roberts. No, it wasn't Leon Roberts. Anyway, sorry. The guy that that fought against Mike Perry, Hot Chocolate, he ended up going to the third round, and it looked like he was actually going to squeak out a potential decision, or he was really pushing to finish it. And Mike Perry actually got him stuck against the fence, landed an amazing knee, and ended up knocking him out.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say anything really dumb on the mic. So hats off to him. His past corner man now is being investigated for domestic abuse, which doesn't necessarily bode well for him. But let's hope that Mike Perry can keep moving forward and be prevented from saying anything dumb or going back to jail because he's currently on probation.
We like you, Mike Perry.
Platinum Mike Perry. Go.
The Platinum Mike Perry sounds like the UFC fighter that Tom Haberford would be sponsoring or managing, I guess is a better word for it.
Platinum.
Do you know who? Do you watch Parks and Rec?
I have, but you got it.
He puts sparkles in everything and calls it Platinum, like yogurt Platinum. It's just putting glitter in yogurt.
They have the, what is it?
Yogurt Platinum.
Global 360 Media, whatever it was.
720. Entertainment 720.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Because we'll go around the world twice for you.
That's what it is.
Where they have Detlef Shrimp and Roy Herbert that are just taking shrimp off a shrimp wall for their big party.
All they're doing is just throwing money at things.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. But yeah, no, so that one was good. Main card. You watched a little bit more of this than I did.
Well, Alcantara was actually really, really great too.
He got performance of the night bonus.
It was a good fight, and, I mean, I hadn't seen the triangle in a hot minute.
He fought Pickett, right?
Yes.
That means Pickett's probably out, you think?
I don't know.
He was given a bad split decision on the last card that he fought because I believe he was also somewhere in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was more or less for his contract. And the fact that he got triangle choked by Alcantara, who's mid-tier at best in that division, I'm pretty sure Pickett may be done.
Whatever, he lost it. He won his last fight before this one.
Alcantara or
Brad Pickett?
Yeah, but do you remember that one?
It was a split decision.
Yeah, well,
Francisco Rivera,
and Rivera beat him. Nope. Handedly.
That's not what it says here.
Rivera's the one that just beat Uriah Faber.
Well, it's saying that he beat Brad Pickett. No, but he's lost. It's pretty. Other than that. Out of the last five, he's lost four. So
he's a hometown favorite. So they put him on a European card. And, oh yeah, he seems like a.
I'm not.
He's got his hat. He helps the Cage Warriors guys.
I'm not for calling him to the UFC to boot him at all. I know that's not what you're saying necessarily. We're just assuming it, but I'm hoping not. I keep the guy around.
I would never wish anyone to lose their job. So let's hope that he doesn't have to go figure that out.
It was good though. Like I hadn't seen one in a minute. One of the ones that I was really surprised about was Bektik.
Yeah.
Two That was the one that had the two changes, and then he did end up fighting a 135er from what I hear at Donza. They were saying Donza 135er, but he looked big. He looked good.
Like he was the one with the yellow mohawk, right?
I don't think it was a mohawk. He kind of just had bleached hair. He kind of looks like Tony Ferguson's hair a little bit. Just kind of like bleached tips, like people that listened to Sum 41 back in like high school.
I didn't see this fight then.
It was the first one on the main card. There's a 145.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I missed it. I also, what happened with Stefan Struve? I missed that fight.
A Darce.
Oh, he Darce choked him.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he looked pretty good.
He did.
But he always looks good against.
He looks like the biggest person in the world. Dude, he looks so big.
He's putting on a lot of weight. When I watched the streamable of him throwing some punches,
mm-hmm.
He's got a really bizarre build. He's built like a bell.
This is the thing. Is we need to start beating all the Polish fighters because I can't say their names, so we can't have any more of them. I learned Joanna's, and I will not learn another.
You want it? Jonczyk?
Jonczyk. And that's probably not even right. I learned it. I tried. So it's really hard for me to try to do something and fail on it. So we're just. This is going to have to be the last fight for Carolina, and it's also for whatever this other guy's name is. I don't mean any offense, Daniel. Olmienekolochuk.
Only in an Ekalichuk do you find a name like that. It's a great town to be from.
Everybody hates us right now.
They're like, man, these guys are just droning on today.
They're just droning. No, it was good, though. He just looks like the biggest person in the world. Like Daniel, we'll call him Daniel. He didn't look like a heavyweight. And I'm sure he would next to any other heavyweight, but Stefan looked so big. And he had moments where he looked decent. He didn't look like completely out of waters. It was so hard for him. He's a Muay Thai champion in Poland.
Someone else stepped in for that, right? Struve was supposed to fight someone else originally. Maybe not.
I don't know. Like I said, I've been watching so much old like UFC and Pride and stuff. I should with having the podcast. I haven't done a great job of following the news. I mean, I watch the cards when they come up, and they're, you know, not the Salt Lake card equivalent.
So, Jimmy Minowa.
Yep. I was wrong on that one.
Yeah, so was I.
So wrong.
I figured OSP would actually just end up wrestling him. I'm actually kind of glad Minowa won because his record is really, really good, and he's only lost to Rumble and Glover. So that puts him right up in the mix, and that gives us at least one more person. The only big issue with him is he's European, so his wrestling's not top tier by any means, but striking... He's a great striker.
Apart from all of that, you should have just stopped it at his European. We can't have Bisbing, Connor, Joanna, and Manuel.
How long do you think Bisbing's going to be champion for?
I think this is the last fight.
Yeah. And he got lucky with this one. Henderson almost finished him.
I about scared the dog yesterday.
He was cheering when he went down.
I was on my feet. I was so excited. I like Bisbing, though, in all honesty. Like, I told this kid at work... I don't like him inside of the sport, but I don't want him outside of the sport, if that makes sense. Obviously, like, there's certain people you don't like maybe the
Tony
Perry.
Tony Ferguson?
No, I love him. No,
I'm talking about mine over here. Ferguson, I respect as a fighter, but when he talks, I'm like, ugh.
Did you hear his last quote?
About?
The division? I'm going to pull it up. We're going to talk about it later.
A video game, The Division?
No.
Oh, his division.
His division.
He also talked crap on Bisbing.
What'd he say?
Paraphrasing the tweet, he said he paraphrased what Dan Henderson, actually he quoted what Dan Henderson said, where he said maybe the ref should go more off of what the fighters look like at the end of the fight.
That's stupid.
Oh, I agree.
Because it's just not fair because people cut easy. Nate loses every fight in that case if he doesn't finish him.
Well, and Bisbing's been so banged up.
Vanderlei loses every fight. It's a dumb metric to go off of.
Yep. And I agree. And so Bisbing's retort to that was, if he went off of his looks, Tony Ferguson belonged in jail. Which is something I feel like my father would say when he says, anyone with a tattoo deserves to be in jail, as my wife's sitting right next to him, and she's got tattoos on her, on her forearm, and it's always really funny. And my oldest brother's got a bunch of tattoos, so it's always a funny comment for him to make. Oh, goodness.
Looking this quote up. Keep chit-chatting about it. So
it was on Reddit.
What was?
That's where I originally found it.
What?
The quote.
From? Oh, no, I was looking at the other one. I wanted to show you. Yeah. But no, it was so good because there's now a big turn obviously, and this is the way that it has to be done instead of everybody just bitching about wanting the money fights. Uh-huh. You've got to have like the real, like, gritty fighters just start coming out and talking and be like, I don't care about the money. That's why you got the Damian Maia's coming out. He wasn't as disrespectful as Ferguson was, but Ferguson was, you know, really, really, like, called out everybody. He's like, I could have picked on people like Conor, essentially. I could have waited 2 years like Khabib. He's like, I didn't. I fought and I fought and I fought and I fought. And I'm not going to sit around and wait for a title shot. I'm going to fight. And I'm going to, if I lose, I'm going to pick up another fight. It was awesome.
Well, he's fighting RDA next, so we'll see.
Well, he didn't say he was going to beat him. He's just saying he's going
to
fight
him. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's just, I'm here to be the best. I'm not here to talk my way to a championship, talk myself to a championship. Let's finish out this card and we'll go into that kind of stuff later on.
No, but yeah.
So did you watch the whole Belfort Musasi fight?
I watched the last like 45 seconds where he got knocked out. So it seemed like they were pacing. Musasi more or less had a little bit of a striking advantage, and then he Vitor Belfort with the head kick knockout.
This was your card. Got two retirements out of it. Yeah. That's better than finishes for you.
That's exactly right. I was right. I should have taken that parlay. We'll get two retirements tonight. Vitor Belfort, he got a lot of crap on Twitter, which is too bad. I mean, yeah, he has been busted for steroids. He is it's interesting how much
we look good still. Not like obviously steroid Vitor good, but sorry,
it's interesting. It's interesting that both of him and Dan Henderson were both on TRT. It was both understood that this is probably one of their last fights. Everyone was behind Dan Henderson and wanted him to win and was like, yeah, Dan Henderson's one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, but he never pinged, though, right?
And then you have Vitor. No, he never pinged. But he was on TRT during the time when it was legal to be on TRT.
Right, but when it was legal or illegal?
Legal.
Right. And
when
Belfort was on TRT, too, but also not just that.
But he had also got pinged back before. I mean, but the hard part is when they were like, steroid. Here's a steroid Vitor Belfort, and it's still Vitor Belfort from like 4 years ago where he's still old. Like, if you want to get steroid Vitor Belfort, go back to when he's like 21, 22, and in pride, juiced to the gills, fighting a 185-pound Alistair Overeem.
His traps, like, just go immediately into his earlobes. Like, he's just cut to shreds.
Exactly. So, I mean, but it's interesting how respectful you can be to one person. I mean, and then it's very disrespectful to another person who's had as equitably great of a career. And you know Dan Henderson was in the pride days when everyone was on steroids. Yes, he never pinged, whatever it is. But, I mean, I don't understand how you can show so much respect for one fighter and not any respect for another fighter when they've more or less been in the exact same place. So I just found that very interesting from this card. I think Vitor Belfort needs to be done. If Musasi can finish him within, you know, the three rounds or whatever, It's probably time to pack it up.
I don't know. I think of all the old fighters, he's still the most ready to continue. Anderson, he looked fast.
Anderson,
he looked
Silva?
Strong still.
I wouldn't put him in the same because I think Anderson Silva, if he really wanted to, has a couple years left. I think Vitor Belfort, they got to check his brain. I mean, a lot of fighters now are coming out like, you know what, we need to slow down a little bit and make sure.
If I was slowing down, I'm just saying, of all the fighters that are still on the board, the old fighters, the pride fighters, the original like UFC fighters, like the old ones that we have, Vitor is still one of the most left in the tank, I think.
He still beats anyone outside of the top 10, no problem.
I think he could beat pretty much everybody in the top 10 too on his day, right? And that's with, and I think that's without, you know, testosterone replacement. I still think Vitor is just a fighter. Yeah. He can catch anybody. He's like Dan, except for I think he's actually more dynamic than Dan Henderson, obviously.
The weird part is Dan Henderson's very dynamic. He's just stopped being dynamic. It's like, you know what? I did go to the Olympics and win a medal for wrestling. But you know what I don't want to do? Wrestle. I mean,
he's too old to.
You
honestly
think?
Yeah, he tried to wrestle last night.
I see, and I missed it.
I don't think he could get down on his like on his knees like that again.
His knees are just gone. They're metal now. Mm-hmm.
Like, I honestly don't. Like, you see him, like, he would go for takedowns and stuff, and it didn't look like it was coming off. Like,
like his head kick to Hector Lombard that looked like something I would throw.
He looks like his mobility is just not there for wrestling, for takedowns.
And yet he's still just owning people. That's crazy to me. I think
he's a master of timing.
Yeah.
Like, it's like Michael Cera in Arrested Development. He's the woodblock instrument. Like, he just knows when to hit. Like, he's just
fake block.
George Michael, I guess I should say. What's the name of that band? I can't remember. It's too long. But dude, that show's so great. Anyways, he should be done. I don't think Vitor if Vitor wants to be done, fine. I'm not saying you should stay in for us. No, if you're done, I'm fine with moving on. But he's one of the ones I think more than Anderson Silva, obviously more than Dan Henderson. He's still got fight in him.
Like I mentioned, Alistair Overeem said he was going to take some more time off to get his head checked. Winklejohn. They were talking about Alistair Overeem actually making sure that his head's cleared before he comes back. So it's – they had a couple rough stoppages last night too. The Mike Perry one was a little rough. There was one other one where one of the gentlemen knocked him out and then – oh, no, yeah, the Minowa fight.
That was bad.
So OSP dropped on his back leg, and he still dropped a major shot after.
Well, I mean, he was still up. On the knockout?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he hit him, and he kind of like...
No, we're talking the knockout where he fell back. He Rashad Evans,
but
he fell back on his own leg and collapsed.
But he didn't like get like a lot off after that. He was in.
He got one big one.
But, that I don't think was a bad stoppage.
No, it wasn't a bad stoppage. It wasn't the ref's fault. The ref looked like he was coming in, and almost like the H-bomb, where you didn't know that punch was coming, and then it did. Mike Perry's as well. He dropped two big ones after he knocked him out. I feel bad for these fighters. I feel like we're seeing more knockouts like that, where people just drop. I guess not. I mean, we see the same amount. But last night, they seemed really bad, and especially because now we're more prone to watching for late stoppages. I feel like the MMA community right now, if there's one thing that the entire MMA community is trying to rally around, it's those late stoppages of fighters taking unneeded damage after they fall. And so these kind of things, I mean, you look at Dan Henderson and the H-bomb and him dropping on Dan Henderson, and everyone knew it was late, but at that time, no one really seemed to care. It was like, yeah, it was late, but it wasn't stopped, and that's just kind of the nature of the sport. And now, you know, several years later, everyone's like, we really got to watch those late stoppages. That ref needs to be there so those fighters don't get hit, you know, one or two more times.
And I think he was right on the same Peru.
Mike Perry was not quite Alistair Overeem getting punched four different times, but there were two big ones and he was out.
Do you see the Big Country proposed fine?
Yeah, he's out for 12 months, something like that. And then
it was like $19,000.
Yeah, $20,000 and 14 months or something. Or $14,000 in 6 months. They needed to do something.
No, yeah. No, they did. What is it? It's
the hard part is, though,
14 months and $18,500.
So, yeah. And that's not good for him. I mean, Big Country is one of those people that hasn't taken enough head damage to have to worry about.
Strongly disagree. Just because he doesn't drop.
He's a punching bag.
Right. Those are the worst kind, though.
We're not looking. I'm talking. So let's, for example, Frank Mir, who's going to be out 2 years or whatever it is, who's trying to get released from his contract and probably did by now. This fine and this time off would be a much bigger deal for someone like Frank Mir than it would Big Country.
I think we're not far from Big Country starting to drop like Chuck Liddell, where like you could throw a cash register at Chuck Liddell and he wasn't going out, and then towards the end
he just dropped everything.
Yeah, like I think we were not far away with that for Country. I mean, think of his fight versus Dos Santos, 5 rounds.
Yeah, just getting beat up.
Yeah, like
it just reminds me of the Simpsons episode
where Homer is a boxer. He is Homer.
Where he just gets beat up for 5 rounds and then finishes the fight when they're tired.
He's Homer in that show, if Homer also had another way to actually win the fight but refused to do it.
All you have to do is take him down. I like Big Country. I think I think he's one of those guys that could easily leave the UFC and take at least a small following, and I wonder if he does try and get out of his contract. Is this by the NSAC, or who fined him, do you know?
I think it's Brazilian Athletic Commission.
So he could still technically fight in the United States. He just couldn't fight in Brazil, right?
Roy Nelson judged for his post-fight actions in Brazil. Big Country stopped Antonio Silva, blah, blah, blah. The Superior Justice Court of MMA has accepted a complaint filed by one of its attorneys following the event.
The
Superior Justice Court of MMA.
I've never heard of that before.
I haven't either. That's why I'm looking at it.
It sounds like weird. Kangaroo Court to me.
It's a real thing. Do you know that?
Yeah, it's, I did know. I did know that. Rick and Morty originally taught it to me.
That's such a good clip. Last fight. Your overall thoughts of the Bisping Henderson fight?
I saw maybe 4 minutes of this entire fight. And in the 4 minutes that I saw, if you were to ask me to judge it, Henderson looked dominant. But looking at the numbers where significant strikes landed and strikes thrown and all of that, Bisping was above. The two knockdowns were huge, but they happened right in a row. And so he won that, I believe.
He still could have lost the second. He got dominated for all the second and then had that knockdown and ended up on top. He ended up in full mount, if I remember right, and Bisping just held him to him. So he didn't really do anything with it. Okay. I still think Bisping probably did more.
And if you get caught like that in the second, there's no way you're going to fight like that the rest of the fight. You're going to be way more cautious.
No.
Bisping wasn't
caught,
more cautious?
No, they talked about this because he did the same thing against Silva. Once he got caught with Silva, he made the adjustments and came out more aggressive. He actually came out after the first round. That's why I think he won the second, personally. Mm-hmm. And I know it's probably people probably up in arms about that on Twitter and stuff, but I actually think Bisping probably won because he came out after he got knocked down bad in the first. He came out hard in the second and then got caught again in the end. He also hit Dan in the nuts twice. Did you see that part where he was really classy? I thought he was actually calling Dan out, but so he hit him in the nuts, and Dan took his time. Obviously, he was going to. I don't know why people were booing. He was tired. He was obviously going to do it, and it's not like he was faking it.
Well,
Michael knew.
They do that in every sport. Football players go down and take a little bit more time to get up so you can get an injury timeout. Soccer players will take their time to get off the field to, you know, give everybody a rest. Basketball players, not so much because it's a little bit more fast-paced. But it's known that if you're given a moment to rest and to help yourself be able to compete later on, you should take it. If you get kicked in the nuts, take all 5 minutes. Anyway, sorry, keep going.
No, and so everybody was booing him, and Michael kind of addressed the crowd there, like, come on, guys. Because he didn't deny it. Like, he knew, and he just kept telling him, you know, keep your kicks up. He threw a lot of head kicks, a lot. He looked good that way. But Dan kind of knew it was coming, and he pretty much checked everyone for the most part.
I don't imagine Bisping being so fluid with his head kicks that he doesn't telegraph them at least enough for someone like Dan Henderson.
They're pretty good. There was one that he did get in a nice combo. It was like, I think it was like a left and then a body kick with his left, and then he followed up with a head kick. Maybe that's vice versa. I don't know, but I can't remember, but he had a nice combo where he actually did catch Dan. He was actually pretty fluid, in all honesty. Mm-hmm. I thought his head kicks looked good, and he did mention before the fight, I feel like I'm going to knock him out with a head kick.
You can't expect to go to decision in Manchester and win against someone from Manchester.
I wanted him to win. Did you see the embeds, by the way? First off, Dan Henderson is the worst interview in the world. So he went to the Etihad.
Yeah.
And
come on, City.
So he
come
jumped
on
the bandwagon like all the other Man City fans.
Hell yeah. Jump on. We'll take all of you.
So him and his wife.
There's plenty of room here on this hype train.
So they gave them a full tour of the Etihad. I want to say it in Spanish. That's stupid. Anyways, and at the very end, they're interviewing him, and they're like, we got you a jersey. So Michael Bisping's a Manchester United fan, and so we figured that you're an honorary Manchester City fan. Do you accept? And he's like, Michael's a United fan? Yeah. Okay. And so they're like, here's a jersey. And they're like, we got you number 33. He just kind of nods. He's like, do you know why? He's like, no. He's like, well, if you beat him, that'll be your 33rd win in your career. Okay. Do you get it? Uh-huh. That's nice. They were just like, what the hell?
I saw him trying to kick on Snapchat. He was trying to kick soccer balls into
a
garbage
bin can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said he was impressed with the stadium. But the fact is the stadiums are impressive. I've actually been to that stadium. but it's nothing. It's nothing outside of going to a football stadium here. You know what I mean? Like,
I've never been. I guess I think I've been outside of the Phoenix, but University of Phoenix. But that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really cool place, and it was a cool atmosphere, and seeing the English hooligans kick the Russians out of their seats so they didn't have to deal with them because they're in the local section, that was all pretty funny.
He was bummed that he didn't actually get to check a game or see a game. He did want to.
Well, they're doing well this season.
They are. Thank you, Tottenham, though. That's the first and last time you'll ever hear me say that. But no,
I will never say that.
So overall, this, I mean, it's not like Bisping, because people were like, oh, no, he looks worse. But, like, Bisping went forward the whole fight. He controlled the octagon pretty much the entire fight. He got caught twice, and he did get taken down once, but Dan didn't do anything with it. But other than that, like, he did control, and his output was just way too high. Like, I thought, you know, I don't know. For the people saying that Dan won,
one of those is your man Dan Hardy. He posted his scores, and he had 3-2 Henderson.
What rounds? I want to know. I mean, you could make an argument for the second and the first.
I think he gave him 1, 2, and 4.
I guess. But, I mean, that's not the fight I saw. I mean, I was wondering if Dan or if Michael Bisping was actually, and I don't know how this would really affect it or not. I'd have to ask Jordan. But it looked like he knew that he was going to throw the H-bomb. So it wasn't so much like he was kicking his head when he was doing the head kicks. I think he was almost anticipating him to check him, and he either wanted to break his arm or just, like, soften his arm up really bad so he couldn't throw it as hard.
Yeah, no, potentially.
Because, I mean, he checked it so many times, and he never stopped throwing it.
So trash talk from Gegard Mousasi afterwards. He said that he finished Dan Henderson within 2 minutes. And so that he should get the next title shot at Ed Bisping, even though he's at 205.
Cool. You're not going to get it. I mean, you can make that case all you want, but nobody wants to see that fight.
No.
And did you see what Bisping did at the very end? He called out all the next four that are fighting at 205,
yeah.
All of them. Individually, he had planned it. This is what he's good at, is building the hype for the next fight. He, Chael, McGregor, those are the ones that they take the top opportunity at the end of the fight to start making money for the next fight. That's when the promotion begins. He set himself up for each one of them. He's like, he said, I just knocked out Rockhold within 3 minutes. Weidman just lost to Rockhold. Jacare, or Yoel just got pinged for steroids, and Jacare just lost to Yoel.
Yeah.
So he said, get your asses off the couch, and we'll see one of you later on down the line. Gegard wasn't even in his...
No. Well, they're different. They're not even in the same... They're not even in the same weight range. I mean, because they are. Sorry. Why did I think he was a 205? They are in the same weight range.
Yeah.
Apologies. I was thinking for some random reason they were 205.
Paula Jones.
He'll eventually get there. I mean, what will most likely happen is Gegard will fight one of the losers of the next four by basic tournament with Yoel and Jacare, Rockhold and Weidman. And if he wins, then he will be in the title picture. But he just never... I mean, he's looked impressive more lately, but he's just a name on a page. That's the hardest part about him. And he's kind of like RDA, where you look at the beginning of his career where he had a lot of weird losses, and it's hard to be like, yeah, that guy.
Well, and he's kind of – I understand why he's trying to make a case, but it's almost kind of insulting to us that it would be like, hey, just Dan was just fighting for the title. I beat him within 2 minutes. I should get it. We all know that Dan shouldn't have got that title fight.
Yeah. When he lost to Uriah Hall, he lost to Souza already. He lost to Leona Machida.
It was the Dan Henderson Michael Bisping was.
He had a draw with Keith Jardine.
The Dan Henderson Michael Bisping fight was a gift to all of us as fans. I know a lot of people didn't want to see it. A lot of people did. And then it was also a gift to Michael Bisping, who's been asking for it forever.
You want to know why Gegard's not one of those people that really sticks out?
Hmm.
Not only, I mean, he was in people to go all the way back to Pride remember him, but he was in Strikeforce.
Mm hmm.
And then he came over with the Strikeforce purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's kind of like, who is this guy? Because he lost to King Mo and had a draw with Jardine. He's beat OSP, though, in Strikeforce. And Latifi.
What weight for OSP? Were they both at 205?
They must have been, because there wasn't as many people to fight way back in that day and in Strike Force. It doesn't say, though, here in Wikipedia.
Mm. I found the Ferguson quote. Do you want to hear it?
Lay it on me.
So he goes, honestly, all those whiny bitches can fight over the belt. When I get that to that spot, they better seriously recycle that belt, because so many damn filthy hands have been on it. Seriously, I'm the only one that's been earning this shit in this division. You can talk your way to the division, McGregor. You can sit out for the longest time and try to wait for a title shot, Nurmagomedov. I've been earning my way up the whole entire time, taking great fights, taking moderate fights, but no matter what, coming out with finishes.
He's got a point. However, one of my favorite times between him and Khabib was when Tony Ferguson was talking major crap on Khabib for fighting a no-name guy so he could stay on the card.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tony Ferguson having to do it like...
I thought it was vice versa.
No, it was because Khabib fought first.
I thought Ferguson did.
And then Venata and Ferguson fought.
Okay. I thought it was vice versa.
No. Because Khabib fired back and was like, oh, you're getting on me for fighting no names. Look who's in the same spot.
Honestly,
as
that
I am.
Whole thing was stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they both need to get paid. And especially in Ferguson's case, where he was he was the headliner, he needed something. But he addresses it still, though. He says, I've been earning my way up the whole entire time, taking great fights, taking moderate fights, but always coming out with finishes. And that's the Venata. He was referring to the mm-hmm. Venata. So he's not.
That really slippery sticker on that, the really slippery sticker on the canvas almost had him lose that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Silly Harley Davidson. And that's the other reason I don't like him. Oh, it was slippery. No, man, you got jacked. You got straight punched in the face. Going back real quick, so you've been watching a lot of Pride fights as of late. Did you watch any of the old Dan Henderson fights or no?
Me and Danilo watched a couple Pride fights. We were looking at Vanderlei and obviously the Dan Henderson versus Vanderlei. But mostly I've been watching Tough, but I've been kind of mixing it up with but it's mostly been Tough.
Did you see the last episode of Tough? I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Was it pretty good?
Mm-hmm. It was Triangle Choke as well. It was really, really good.
I retweeted it.
Schnell versus Rizzo, I think, is what it was. Is that right?
Yeah. I get really sad because I've missed almost every single one of them.
I have them all at my house. You feel free.
I'll have to come over and we'll have to binge watch it. Just the fights, though, because I don't care about the rest of it. However,
well, they actually
the filming format's a lot better because they just give them the camera and say, hey, go film your own life, and then we can tell people about your life from your own point of view, which I like.
Yeah, I think they'll probably get more into the house drama. They've only had a little bit of it with the African gentleman, whose people are having problems with him in the house. That's really the only drama.
But that's all cultural. Things are so much different in different countries. It's like... when you remember living with people from Latin America where the women in their culture waited on the men hand and foot, so those kids would never clean their rooms or do their dishes. And it was just cultural.
No, I know. I mean, and most of the other times it's just alcohol, but I mean, drama's drama.
Is the African dude drinking a ton?
No, I'm saying, you're saying his was cultural. I'm just saying that it doesn't matter where the drama's coming from. They're not going to understand that when they're living with the person. Like, the person's just annoying.
Yeah.
But so... that's like the only drama that they've had.
What is he doing?
So one of them was somebody was actually cleaning something in the sink.
Yeah, I saw the Demasio Page one.
That's pretty much it. And that was pretty much it. They kind of bugged him because like he would take their stuff like out of the laundry too, like while it was going, and start doing his. Like they're like, what is he, a prince in Africa? What the hell is going on? And then like Demasio Page was cleaning and he was like, here, I just need this for my bowl. And he's like, no. If you would have asked, it probably would have been fine, but he just kind of went up there and started doing it. But that's honestly, like, that's it. And it seems like it didn't stick too much and everybody worked it out because they're not really dealing with that too much.
It's definitely a cultural thing. I told you about the kid we lived with that was Navajo, right?
No.
So, really nice kid, but there was just a couple weird things. So, one time, so we lived all together at a house, right? Just kind of like the Tough house, but we didn't fight. And so this kid came in, and there was three of us who knew each other, and then he was kind of like the new kid that came in that no one really knew. Well, our good buddy left a whole bunch of food, and he said it was free game. Like, hey, everybody just eat it. Go ahead and do it. So this kid was the fourth one in line. He reached in front of everyone, filled his bowl, and went to the microwave first. and just kind of like where everyone else was like, cool, here's how the line was, this is how we'll work it out. He skipped everybody. The next time we got invited to a really nice steak dinner from one of the other kids that lived close. So he invited us to his parents' house and he had all of these steaks. Well, they had this really cool table that it actually spun in the middle. So all the food was in the middle.
I think you have told me this. I just don't remember a Navajo being part of the story.
Yeah, so he was Navajo. And the only reason I bring that up is because it was, I found out later that it was cultural. But anyway, so he spins it towards him when the steak's nowhere near him, grabs the biggest steak he can and puts it right on his plate before anyone else gets to it.
Yes.
Yeah. And it could have been just him. But I've since talked to people that know a little bit more about the Navajo culture and stuff that say, and part of it, certain males in the Navajo culture feel like their guests want them to have the nicest of whatever they have. So if you go to a restaurant, instead of getting the cheapest meal,
that seems like a bullcrap thing, just way to get the biggest stuff.
To get the nicest stuff. And that's, we could be wrong. It could be someone pulling my leg or whatever. So if you're Navajo, correct me if I'm wrong. And if I'm right, then
I'll ask Jared Totticini.
Yeah, ask him. But he was also raised by a Caucasian family, so it'd be a little bit different culturally.
No, he wasn't.
Was he not?
He was born on the reservation. Okay. He came out here for 2 years before, junior or senior year of high school.
Then, yeah, no, he would definitely spend a good
portion of his time on the old reservation, and now is dancing at BYU.
On the Reds. Is he?
He's doing the cultural, like the Coach Lassick dance. Do you remember the Eagle dance that he did? The hoop dance?
Yeah.
He's doing that.
That's funny, because he probably knows Ben, the kid, the Navajo that I lived with.
Is he doing the same thing?
Yeah, he did. He wanted to get on with the dance.
I'll ask him. Crew. I think he graduated now, but yeah.
So this kid's way done too because he's about our age.
So they probably actually were on the same time though.
They may have known each other. Anyway,
all that MMA talk. Riveting today,
long story
folks.
Short. I wonder why we don't see more Native American MMA fighters.
White man killed them all. Not a ton of people out there fighting.
There's like the Navajo res out there is huge in Arizona.
Also New Mexico.
Yeah. It'd be interesting.
Jared, I actually think, would have been a good fighter.
Well, a lot of them have more. A lot of them.
What?
Most me trying to be culturally sensitive and then saying things that could be easily culturally insensitive. A lot of
who cares?
A lot of
say
them,
it.
I do.
That's stupid. Just talk.
A lot of the Navajo people that I've met have really athletic builds. They're like, Totticini was a monster. Like, he was a tall, just fit kid.
He wasn't, I mean, he's fit, but he wasn't really tall. He's like a little taller than me.
Maybe I remember him because it was high school. I think he probably grew bigger than most high school kids.
He was very, very athletic. That'd actually be pretty interesting. I assume it'll actually start picking up like on the reservations and things like that. It's a good avenue for any culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's just getting more and more popular. I can only imagine that we'll see it soon.
Well, you remember
I really think he would have been good. Go ahead.
4 years ago when the Gamburians and Carl Parisian were big, there's a ton of people coming out of Eastern Europe, especially Armenians that were coming in because they were all refugees and they'd grown up fighting and being in war and all of this. And there was a huge Armenian influx in the UFC and in MMA, and most of them weren't any good, so it didn't really get anywhere. Most of them lost on tough. But you feel like it was one of those things where, like, that, yeah, this makes sense. These people have no fear because they're raised in a war zone, and they've had to learn military tactics since they were kids. So it just seems like certain types of cultures would have a bigger means of being better fighters just based on cultural and background of like more physical history, if that makes any sense.
I think so. It's like,
but it shows you that the mindset doesn't necessarily always transfer to athleticism, where you look at like college football now, where there's a lot of Polynesians that play and they're just naturally gifted, where I feel like someone like myself would have to put in a lot more work, especially just to get to weight. But
they were actually talking about it. Wenger was talking about it. As far as strikers go, he was talking about how South American strikers are oftentimes better than their European counterparts because of the struggle that they have to come on. They have to fight for everything that they get, mm-hmm. and it shows in their game. I think similarly, that can be referred, or that can be also maybe reviewed in MMA as well, especially probably especially MMA actually, because not only is it style, it's also aggression, controlled aggression. So you can take a style from the place that you're at, you know, like you can take the wrestling, and then you can also, if you have like a certain amount of aggression because you had to fight for everything growing up, and every and it's more than just athleticism. I don't know. There's an aggressive nature of it, like the Armenians. You know, it's you come up from a different lifestyle, you're going to act a different way.
You know what I'd be interested in seeing?
Mm-hmm.
I would be interested in seeing a compilation of data based on geographical location. So Americans versus Europeans, and even like certain Europeans like Ireland or the ones that are the same disciplines. So like French is more kicking and more like kickboxing, and then the UK is more boxing. And then South America's got a lot of Taekwondo, and of course you've got Brazil, which is at BJJ. But I would like to see and Muay Thai. Yeah, I mean even going out to Thailand. But I would like to see
Brazil Muay Thai. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would like to see each country a breakdown of how they do against each other. Like all in all, these are all the UFC fights between an American and a Brazilian, and this is who's won the most amounts.
Most importantly, I want to see the. Go ahead.
This is how much time has been spent on the ground with wrestling. This is how many transitions. Like, this is how many times, how many knockouts they all have compared to each other. So you can see the fighting styles based on the backgrounds within that geographical location and how well they do against each other.
You're pretty awesome.
Because I would imagine the Brazilians have a really... I would imagine the Brazilians do really well against the Europeans, but probably lose more to Americans. Like, it would be interesting to see, just based on, I mean, because that would really get into discipline if you really thought about it.
Pretty much all the last decade, it was Brazil versus America with some Canada thrown in.
And well, Japan back in the Pride days.
Well, the last 10 years is what I said. But, no, yeah, I know you're right, though. But what I really want to see is how many, like, the Israel versus Iranian, how many times that's come out. Oh, wait, the Iranians don't show up, bitches. That pissed me off in the Olympics. Did you see that? The Taekwondo guys, they would not fight the Israelis
because they're scared. Just joking. I don't think any of those people are scared of anything.
They're scared of something.
They didn't want to be touched.
Yeah. That was like what it was essentially from what I remember. Yeah. Like it's, oh my gosh, it's so,
it's like trying to hand a Jehovah's Witness some type of evangelical preaching. They won't take it.
They will if I hide it in their backpack.
Real quick, a couple more things to talk about in the next 10 minutes or so. Two big things. UFC Philippines has been canceled.
That's you told me about some of that. I didn't know
the political unrest that's going on right now in the UFC.
Why didn't they just come out and say it?
I don't think they can. Here's the most interesting.
Why can't they?
So let's give the listener a little bit of a breakdown if they don't know. So the UFC had to pull out of the UFC Philippines card, and it was said that BJ Penn got injured, and so they ended up just pulling the entire fight because the next co-main event wasn't big enough to drive the entire card. A lot of people think it was because it started to come out that the Filipino government wanted to drug test all of the fight teams, and the use of marijuana in the Philippines is a federal offense rather than just like a misdemeanor. It's the same way in South Korea. So, like, if you're caught with marijuana, it's the same as, like, heroin or cocaine or anything. A little bit backwards. However, they do things weird. But at the same time, there's a lot of political unrest right now in the Philippines. Their current president is
Rodrigo Duterte.
Doing all kinds of weird stuff. Declared open war on, like, drug dealers.
In his first 100 days, killed 3,600.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a good reason not to want to go, especially when they are having so many issues. However, it was pointed out to me on Twitter that 1FC does a lot of their fights in the Philippines, and 1FC really has no drug testing policy and are kind of like Risen, where they do a lot of weird fights. And so it's weird that the Filipino government would be cracking down on the UFC and not 1FC, other than the fact that 1FC probably pays them money to look the other way.
I just don't know why we need to go out there.
Open new markets. I mean, there's a lot more Filipino fighters now. I mean, we only had Mark Munoz back in the day, but there's a couple more Filipino fighters. Lower league, Novaire. There's the Filipino fighter fought here Remember the one with the comb over? Looked like he was a greaser from the 1950s. Mm. He's a Filipino guy, but I don't even think he was on the card. He's actually on the Mexico City card, which is odd. Mm-hmm. I think they're just trying to open new markets, try and prove that they are going to other places. But as soon as all of the political unrest started, they were probably like, this isn't good. So BJ Penn may have actually had an issue. But the fact that they pulled the whole card instead of trying to just get, you know, two people that may or may not have been able to headline. I mean, the rest of the card was weak, but the Salt Lake card was weak. The Portland card was weak. The Hidalgo card was great. For what it did for the division, but the rest of it was weak outside of the top two fights. Like, you can't expect BJ Penn to carry the entire card.
That's what they've done on all the other cards.
Yeah, but I mean BJ Penn is even actually a bigger name. So
I'm honestly glad that we got the Yair Rodriguez one. I didn't realize he actually got injured in that fight, and he's out until the beginning of next year.
What happened?
I think it's more niggling stuff. He came out and was just like, it's just some niggling stuff. I probably will.
Apparently, I threw way too many strikes.
Yeah, and they were wild, and
yeah,
they were. I hyperextended every joint. But yeah, and it sounded more like he just wanted some time off.
Last 10 minutes. Let's talk about the most important thing that we can. A potential fight between GSP and Anderson Silva. What does it do for you?
Anything? Not anything anymore. We don't know GSP as a commodity. And we don't know. I mean, Anderson Silva has looked anything but stellar.
Well, Dana White all but guaranteed it by saying it wasn't going to happen.
I mean, I'll watch it.
It's very interesting to me when these guys like GSP come back, when they complain a lot about steroid use and how they need to clean up the UFC, and he'll come back when there's stricter testing, and then he fights someone that's actually pinged for a PED use. That's kind of interesting to me that they're like, I want the sport cleaned up.
But that's kind of like the whole point, though, right? I'll fight people that are clean. He knows he's clean now. Before, he did not know that. That's kind of the whole point.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it. Well, speaking of that, switching topics real quick and then getting back to this. Did you see that Frank Mir said that USADA's testing is too strict and it's going to ruin the UFC or ruin MMA?
Chael kind of said similar things about when he went over to Bellator, more or less, that they were actually the leaders of it, but they also did it themselves. It was a lot more in-house. I don't know. What's your opinion on it?
I think as you force athletes to get better, they get better. However, there will always be somebody that's using a substance and always will be somebody that's trying to shirk the system. I mean, look at biking. It was supposed to be so clean. It was supposed to be so dirty. But Lance Armstrong didn't do it, and he was beating everybody else, and he never tested positive. And then it came out he was using his entire career. I actually like it. I think Frank Mir comes from the old school, and so he sees it as ruining a generation of MMA. But what it is you're going to see the fall of the older generation that needed that type of thing to compete at the level they were not needed. They could have competed no matter what. They were that good. However, it's just a whole different mindset. So you're going to see the cleaning out of these young kids coming in and beating the Vitor Belfort.
I don't think from what you've told me, what he said though, I don't think he's saying that they're being too strict on what they're actually pinging for. So them going hard on Nate for that stupid pen.
But he was released. I think that he's so mad because he had like one or two metabolites and he got a 2-year suspension.
Exactly. Like, that's the thing. It's like they're being more strict than they necessarily need to be. But it's a pendulum.
They're like, putting their hands in. But the Nate Diaz thing, they're putting their hands in places that it doesn't need to be. Because technically he was out of competition. There was no need for USADA to step in. That should have been the NSAC saying, hey, you're doing something that is not okay in Vegas. But then they recognized they recognized his medical license from LA. You know what I mean? Like, so the NSAC should be the one, or the UFC should be the one saying something about it. And they didn't say anything about it. And then USADA decided that they're going to get involved, but he's not technically under contract to get tested by USADA. in competition. Like, that I understand. That they have no reason to get involved in with that in any way, shape, or form. However, if someone gets pinged like Frank Mir for two metabolites in their system, good. I'm glad that you can get somebody for as small as two metabolites in their system. Now, the issue of where it's going to start ruining things and people are going to get really irritated is in the case of Jon Jones and Brock Lesnar. Jon Jones gets booted off of a card. Lesnar is allowed to fight, and then afterwards he gets in trouble for it. Like, this, it's got to be even across the board. And all of these, like, it takes longer to get it back, and it does this, or we ran it then, or whatever it is. That shouldn't happen like that. You know what I mean? And how do they test somebody four times and he doesn't pee hot, and then afterwards he pees hot after the fight? There's no possible way he just used for fight week and then stopped. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he most likely was on it the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the inconsistencies in USADA is what could really start to cause them issues.
Well, the thing with Frank Mir and metabolites is I think two is so not inconsequential. Like, you can't get him for pinging for two. And then on...
But you know what I mean, like a small amount of metabolites.
I don't know, man. That seems trace. And that's the thing. Every time I hear a fighter on a podcast, be it, again, Chael Sonnen, people on Joe Rogan's podcast, who else? Like, every time I hear them talk about it, I realize how little I know about it and how much more it, like,
but you're also listening to all the people that used it.
No, not necessarily.
Chael Sonnen used TRT, so
yes, he
technically
did.
A PRD.
You're not, that's PED. Not all the people that I've heard. Like, that's one person. Fighter and the Kid, you know, Chob, numerous people on Joe Rogan's. Like, if anybody... Nobody's been more upfront than Chael about his actual use. Nobody else talks about it after they ping. Mm-hmm. Chael will openly say, like, what he did. And
because he's a politician. And politicians know if you just come out and admit to what you've done wrong, apologize, you can move forward. But if you hide it and fight against it, then you've got issues.
Really?
Yep.
The current election doesn't say that for either candidate.
Well, the current election is just a sad, sad thing.
Well, those are two politicians. I don't think that politician, that being a politician, has anything to do with it for Chael. I think he just knows that people know, so he'll just bring it into light, and he's not affected by it one way or another anymore. So
I think that has everything to do with it.
He's not a very good politician. He has a terrible career.
Conor McGregor's girlfriend's pregnant. Did you hear?
I did not.
It's saying that he'll probably take maybe a year off after this next fight.
That's the one thing I thought about, and I don't mean to always
hold up two divisions.
He won't hold. He'll only hold up one.
Whichever one he win or lose, whatever one he's not going to go back.
He'll hold up 145.
I want him to win.
I don't. I was thinking about.
Did you see Donald Cerrone saying that all the UFC fighters hate him and he basically hides backstage? I don't believe it at all.
I don't know. It just seems like him trying to pick a fight.
Oh, yeah.
My big thing with the last night fight is we got to see Dan Henderson go out on his shield like everybody wants Conor McGregor to do. That's why they want him to go up to and fight heavyweight and all of that. And we really got to see a fighter actually go out on his shield, going down swinging. Well, unfortunately for the whole Conor McGregor thing, we'll never get to see that. He's going to have so many problems every step of the way from here on out. If it's not, you know, a problem with Jose Aldo, if it's not a problem with promotion, it's going to be a pregnancy, which is fine. I have no problem with him taking time off for that. We're going to, what everybody wants out of their fighter, we got to see last night out of Dan Henderson, and you'll see very few other legends ever go out like that.
You want to know the one thing I actually respect about Conor McGregor?
What?
Out of all of the hype that he gets and all of the things that he's doing and all of the attention he has on himself, he hasn't done anything stupid. He's not getting in car wrecks in his really nice cars.
What about
like
the gun?
Jones.
The gun photo.
The gun photo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like an Uzi, or like looked like he was holding an Uzi when he was in Ireland, where guns are illegal. It's inconsequential.
There's
it was a
also
joke.
One with him in New York with the big fat blunt on his Instagram.
Mm.
I mean, but once again, those things aren't. The Uzi may have been illegal. The other stuff.
I mean,
it
was supposed to be a fake gun, like, and, I don't really care. I couldn't, like, yeah, he's
gotcha.
Just kidding around.
But what I mean is, he's not getting in car wrecks. He's not going into strip clubs with guns. He's not, like, for how much attention he's bringing himself, he actually is comporting himself pretty well outside of the actual MMA. Like, I feel like there's a lot of people. Jose Aldo, I mean, he does fine, but we haven't had to worry about injuries. We haven't had to worry about, you know, anything that is painting him into a bad light based on his own actions that aren't seeing consequences. So for all of the dumb things he does and says in the UFC, at least he's not living that lifestyle and getting himself in crazy party culture.
When he says he's going to fight, he shows up, and I appreciate that 100%. I'm just saying, and it's more just highlighting on him because I just thought about how everybody wants him to go out on a shield. And we actually got to see that last night. Dan Henderson went down swinging. Yeah. He had a great performance. Most people were not going to see like that, you know, fighting for the title for their last fight. They'll just steadily decline and decline and decline. Or they're just going to cause, he's going to cause such a rift between him and the UFC. We're never going to see the full fruition of his career that we're going to want to. And I'm not saying everybody has to go out like Dan necessarily having a million fights under their belt and all of that, but he will peter out faster than he will last. Yeah. And I think he's pretty much admitted saying that it's going to be, what, 3 more years?
Yeah. Since the beginning, since he got into the UFC, he basically said 3 to 4 years. Make as much money as he can and be done.
You think 15 more years is going to happen?
No. Nope. He's smart enough to realize that this has made him famous, and there's other ways to use fame to make a lot more money. I mean, he's got the Mac Life. He's got his website. He's got all of his own videos. He's
congratulations to Bisbing as well for the Triple X.
Oh, yeah, he did get it. He's the bad guy. The main character, too, right?
I think he's a good guy. I thought he was Xander. The trailer made him look like Xander. I'll look it up because I swear he was.
I thought he was the
bad
guy.
I was confused. I was like, I'll look it up. Go ahead.
Well, the great part about that is last time I heard him on Chael Sonnen, he was saying that he was having a hard time getting the acting gigs for whatever reason. Probably because he's not that good. GSP was in Kickboxer. He did all right in that. But anyway, nonetheless, so yeah, that's really good for them. I like to see the crossovers. I like to see these guys make money doing something other than getting punched in the face. Just like any kind of athlete, you should be able to use that fame towards your betterment. As long as you're not some weird pseudo celebrity like a Kardashian using that towards being famous. I'm all for it. We're going to look up this Triple X thing.
Probably off air because it's harder than it looks.
Yeah. You have to be very careful when you look up Bisbing XXX. You're finding stuff.
Actually,
that you
might that's
not
exactly
want to.
What I'm going to do on your internet.
That's all right. There's plenty of midget porn already on there, so it'll.
You get upset about saying them, but you can't say midget.
Only because it's comical. I just call.
Oh,
them,
that's oh okay, Donald.
I call them people of unusual size.
No, you're right. He's not Xander, by the way.
He's the bad guy.
Okay,
I mean,
fair.
Look at him. Have you seen his eye? He's got to be the bad guy.
No, I can't. Not after Dan punched him in it.
Zing.
Also, that one is like...
He also looks scary. Looked like he's already in his Halloween costume. Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe so you can listen to our crazy banter every week. Follow us on Twitter for the conversations that we have. And we talk to us during the fights or after the fights or whatever you think. Thanks again.
Thanks.
Bye.